Ephesians 3 is where we'll start. Pastor wasn't wrong. We are headed to Romans 8 as well. So as my dad used to say, take one finger and put it in Ephesians 3. And then if you want to go ahead and turn to Romans 8, we'll be there in just a few minutes. And then 1 Thessalonians and then I'll tell you those when we get there, right? All right. Pastor did mention something that this morning that I can't not say. He talked about, I don't like how you rub the cat the wrong way. You know what the answer to that is, right? Well, don't have a cat, but turn the cat around. You get it? Right? All right. Okay, very good. Very good. All right. And truly, God's people won't have cats anyway, so. Okay. All right. We better get to the scriptures. We're getting in trouble now for sure. Ephesians 3 and is partially our text around the fellow heir. And we find the word here. So in verse number 5, let's read there. We're going to read a few verses. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, listen to this, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Could we just stop just for a moment and be reminded that in the story of the Bible, when we understand that through the Old Testament, God was working through Israel, our problem that we have is we're not Jews. So in the line of, when we look at the Old Testament, now God was doing a great work through the whole world, even in the Old Testament, and he was very much exercising grace and mercy. If you anybody who says the Old Testament, well, there's no grace and mercy, you just haven't read it. Right? You don't know what you're talking about for sure. But the truth of the matter is that when we just read and start with the Old Testament and understand that if you're not a Jew, you're not in at that moment. Now, I understand there's a greater purpose and we're headed somewhere here. But understand that now that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, and that's us. Amen. That's us. I wasn't born a Jew. I wasn't born in Israel. That's not me. And if we just take a moment and think about that, there's a song, and what it's a blessing. The song talks about just kind of a picture in heaven, and it's like, who is that? And so a man standing there talking with an angel, and he's like, who is this group? And he's like, it's the Old Testament prophets. And he said, oh man, I can't go in with them. And so then he talks about, well, who's this group? Oh, this is a group of people. They're martyrs, man. They gave their life for the cause of Christ. And he just looks and he says, man, I can't go in with that group. And then he looks at another group and he says, who's that group? And he said, it's the blood-washed, just born-again believers. And he said, because of Christ, I can go in. And what a blessing. What a blessing that we get to be heirs, fellow heirs. Even though we weren't Jews, right? Man, we're Gentiles, but that doesn't make a difference now. It only makes a difference that we accept Christ as our personal Savior for sure. So what a blessing there. Now let's turn over to Romans 8. As we see there, the fellow heirs in Ephesians. Now Romans 8. We'll read a few verses here as well. But in Romans 8, verse number 15, the Bible says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. When it talks about Abba, Father, man, it's the difference between he's my father, he's my dad. I always called my dad Pops. I asked him, I was like, hey, truth be told, there was a guy at a basketball game, and he's like, hey, is that your pops over there? And I was like, hey, it is. And I was like, man, I like that. So I asked my dad. I remember in our old house, we had a little thing we called the library, and dad was sitting at the desk, and I walked up, and I said, dad, can I call you pops? And he looked at me and said, yeah, that'll be fine, right? And it's a term of endearment, right? And when we think about that, because we've received the Spirit of Christ, which is, man, it gives us liberty in Christ, right? When you think about the Jews and you think about all the rules, the pastor mentioned this even, I believe, Wednesday night, talking about, man, they were just dumping it on them, you know, and adding and adding and all this stuff. And the truth of the matter is that, man, it's not about bondage again. Man, it's freedom and it's liberty, and it's through Christ that we have that freedom, and we have that, and it's the receive the Spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. God is our Father, and it's not walking in prim and proper saying, oh, our dear Heavenly Father. No, man. There's times we cry out to God and we just say, Dad, God, can you help me? Right? And we get to have that access because we've been saved. Now, we're not going to stop there. Verse number 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Man, if the Spirit is living inside of you, He's going to bear witness that, hey, you're one of His. Right? And there's great comfort. There's great courage that comes from the fact, man, I'm one of His. Not because I'm great, not because of all these works I've done, but because He saved me, because of His mercy and His grace, and I'm one of His children. Amen. And we're so thankful for that. So the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, listen to this, then heirs. All right? Then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with who? Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. There is coming a day, where the fact that we are His children, but not only His children, His heir, joint heirs with Christ. We have in our family, we have a little bit of a feud that goes on. There's four of us. My brother Jeremy, my sister Rachel, the best me, and then my younger sister Crystal. Right? So we like to have this fight. Mom, Dad, who's your favorite? Right? To which they would always say, we haven't had our favorite yet. Right? But we have a little thing going, and so it's just illustration here for a moment. But my dad worked an entire summer one day for my uncle. And so at the end of the summer, my dad, he said, okay, I told you it was a long time ago. So he's like, I'll pay you whatever it was. I think it was like $150 for the whole summer. I'll pay you the $150, or I'll give you this Winchester 1936 30-30 lever action. And my dad said, I'll take the gun, right? And the cool thing about that gun is that it actually has, I'm not going to get it completely right, but I do know that it has about two generations prior to my great uncle, one of our relatives. It has the full saddle scabbard that's leather, and it's got one of our great relatives. It's got his initials carved into it, and it's been in the family for a long time. Now, why would I tell you that story? Because at the end of the day, my brother and I like to go ahead and see who's going to get that, right? And the truth of the matter is that my brother, sorry, Buzzard, he came out first, right? He's the firstborn. But when we think about that relationship and we think about God's only begotten Son, that when you think of being heir, being the recipient of the entire estate, right? That being that recipient, we would look at it and we say, man, who deserves it? Jesus Christ deserves it, man. If anybody deserves heaven for all of eternity, the fact that Jesus came and humbled Himself to become one of us, to save us from our sin, and to die on the cross and to do all those things, man, who deserves the entire estate? Who deserves heaven? Who deserves all those benefits? Well, Christ does. But the wonderful blessing is that, hey, because I've accepted Christ as Savior, now I'm joint heirs with Him. Man, the benefits that are there, those benefits of heaven for all of eternity, man, I get to enjoy that too. And we get to enjoy that, and what a blessing it is. Now, one day, we are going to be glorified with Christ. One day. Now, what day that is, I cannot tell. I know that some have gone before, and they are in that place already. Right, that they've been glorified with Christ and they're enjoying their eternal rewards, those who've accepted Christ as Savior and in heaven. And what a wonderful thing that is. And one day we'll be unified. For those who are saved, there is coming a great reunion day. You think about those family reunions, and sometimes they're fun and sometimes chaos, right? You haven't met our family. A little cray-cray runs through our bloodline a little bit. But at the same time, those family, what a wonderful time it is, right? A time where we get together and be in one place. But man, there's coming a reunion that none of us have ever seen before. And that's the day that we will be joint heirs with Christ. We will be glorified together. There, as verse number 17 says. Now here's the deal. That day is not this day. Now, it could be. The trump could sound, and we could all be raised up, and we could be there. So one day we're going to be glorified with Christ, either in death or in the rapture, right? We will be united together in heaven. Now, let's look at it. 1 Thessalonians. I told you we were headed there already. But 1 Thessalonians. And the truth be told, that many times, and this verse, these verses even say it, that they are a great comfort in a time of sorrow. And sometimes, man, sometimes when we're at the grave, right? We hear these verses, and as we're standing there, and many times our thoughts are overwhelmed, maybe with grief or sorrow or those types of things. And sometimes we don't necessarily let this passage sink in as well. So while we're not at the graveside today, let's be reminded of this. In verse 13, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13, the Bible says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." And these words here are what we're talking about. The fact that one day there will be perfect unity. One day we will be glorified and we'll be in that place all together with no problems, right? No crazy aunts or uncles either, right? We'll all be sane. But when it comes down to it, we're looking forward to that day, in the fact that we will, all the saved, will be in one place in perfect unity. One of the parts that I love about this is the fact that I have kind of moved around a little bit. And so I think of my hometown in Fritch, and I think of all my friends and family, and I think of a lot of folks there. And I did go to college in Oklahoma City. I had to go to the land of Egypt to be trained there in Oklahoma. So got out of there as quick as I could. But I was there, and I think about Oklahoma, and I think about some folks that are there, some believers who enjoyed being with them. So I think about the ones in Fritch. I think about the ones in Oklahoma. When I graduated from college, I lived 2 years in Lubbock. That's where I met Pastor. And I think about some of the folks, man, what a blessing that they are. And I think about some of those folks that were in Lubbock. And after that, I moved out to East Texas, and I was out there at Heritage Baptist Church, worked out there for a little while. And I think about some of the folks that were there. And the part that when I think about this scripture is this, that every once in a while I think, man, you know, I look at somebody here and I think, somebody I know from another church or another state or another place, and I look out and I say, man, you would like them. I've met them, and you'd like them. You know, I think y'all would mesh real good. But they live there and you live here, right? And now I live here. And when we think about the fact that, you know, we do have friends and family, fellow believers is what we're focusing on here for a minute. Now, we have believers all over, right? I think of some of those who are in the military and moved around and things like that. And you know people all over, right? And I just think in my mind, what a cool thing that would be to be rich, where I could just rent out like a 747 and we pick up all my friends all over the world and we go and we have dinner and we have just a time to get together, right? Doesn't that sound fun, right? Sounds like fun. Well, don't worry, it's not going to happen this side of heaven, all right? But one day in heaven it will. And all the saved from the entire world, those that we've met, those that we haven't, the Old Testament saints, man, we'll all be together. And what a blessing that will be. And that day is coming. That day is coming. Whether through death or the rapture, God will bring us all together. Now, while that day will happen, and we will be glorified with Christ, one thing I want us to look at just for a moment is this, that God wants us to be at peace with each other now. Okay, now we've kind of dealt with this, so we'll quickly go over this. But in 1 Thessalonians 5, just the next chapter here, a couple of verses in verse number 12, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in the love for their work's sake and be at peace among yourselves. The truth is that any type of unity that we can experience now, you know what that is? It's a little piece of heaven. A little piece of heaven. The fact that one day perfect unity will happen. I think about this in relation to our homes. As saved believers, our home should be a little piece of heaven. Should be a little safe retreat. That we live in harmony together. Yes, siblings, every once in a while you gotta maybe have a knockout, drag out, all right? But not too many of them, okay? But live in peace and in unity. And what that does is it's a little piece of heaven here on earth. And while that's true with our homes, it's true with our church as well. That what it is that one day we'll be in perfect unity, but when we strive to have unity now, we get to experience a little taste of that now. And the truth of the matter is, man, when you think about living in this world and battling and going through the daily, sometimes battling our own flesh, our own selves, battling those that are without, Satan himself, we're battling him. And what a blessing it is to have a place where we can kind of retreat for a little bit and experience that unity as just a little piece of heaven to know that one day this will be made complete and we'll be in peace and unity forever. But it is, and we should strive to live in unity now, knowing that one day it will be perfect unity. But here's the truth. But the major problem is one word. You ready? S-I-N. Right? Sin. As we look here in 1 Thessalonians, we're already right here in chapter 5. Let's just read a few more verses down. Verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak. Listen, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying. Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you ready? So we're to be at peace among ourselves. But the truth of the matter is if we look even into verse number 14, there's sometimes I'm not patient towards all men. Right? There are sometimes I'm not rejoicing. There are times that I'm not praying without ceasing. There are times that I'm not thankful, right? There's times I quench the spirit. There's times I despise prophesying. I despise preaching. I despise at times the word of God, right? So I prove all things. I don't always prove all things. I don't always hold fast to that which is good. I don't always abstain from all appearance of evil. And so when we look at that, we know that that will be taken care of one day, right? And while we battle with it now, know and be hopeful and be encouraged that there's coming a day, listen, that the cuss word in the back of your mind is not going to want to come out. Right? Hey, man, I'm looking forward to the day that I'm not battling this flesh anymore. I'm so thankful that, hey, I'm not going to smart off to my wife sometimes anymore, right? There's coming a day, and live in hope. Man, what a blessing. I'm so excited that, man, to somebody who doesn't believe in God, to the atheist, to the agnostic, to the person who thinks the dirt nap is all that's left, have fun with that. Man, right, here's hope, ready? Edgar Allan Poe said it best, I guess, right? I envy the dead. You're an idiot, okay, all right? But the truth of the matter, the dirt nap is not all that there is, man. We're looking forward to one day being in heaven and being glorified with Christ and not battling sin and not battling disunity and being in harmony and living and enjoying the presence of our Savior. And it's going to be a great day. Man, aren't you looking forward to heaven? Man, I remember hearing preachers all the time used to say that every once in a while they take their shoes off and go out in the backyard and have rapture practice, right? Right? Man, just excited, right? Man, if there's not a little piece in you that says, man, I'm looking forward to heaven, I'm just telling you, man, you're missing out, right? I think that in some ways, if a preacher is going to be any good at all, he's going to feel a little homesick all the time. What is that? Homesick for heaven. And I don't think that's just a preacher thing. I think that's a saved person. Man, I'm looking forward to heaven. And I'm excited. And there's no reason that I should be a joint heir with that. There's no reason that that should be my inheritance. But because of God's grace and because of His mercy, man, I get to go into. And we're looking forward to that day because there'll be no more sin and no more sorrow. So let's turn over to Revelation 21 and let's just be reminded of what heaven's going to be like. Revelation 21. There's going to be some things missing in heaven. And we're thankful for those things missing. Revelation 21. Revelation 21 in verse number 4, very familiar, but at the same time, let's just ponder on it for a minute. The Bible says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And aren't you thankful that those things are going to be missing in heaven? We're not going to be dealing with those. We're not going to be having those tears of sorrow. We're not going to have to say goodbye to our loved ones anymore. And there's not going to be that sorrow and there's not going to be any more pain. Amen. Advil and Tylenol are going to be put out of business. Man, what a blessing. And as we think about those things missing, let's also go down to verse number 22. Verse 22, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." We kind of sang about it just a minute ago. Hey, there's not going to be any sun in heaven anymore. Why? Well, because the Lord will be the light, right? Now, when we think about this, there'll be no more, and I saw no temple therein. Listen, it's not going to be that we're, you know, in heaven. What's it going to be? You know, strumming harps and eating Philadelphia cream cheese. Right? They're not going to be like, oh, it's about to be 2:00 on a Sunday afternoon. We better hit the church. We won't be doing that anymore. You know why? Because we're with the Lord Himself all the time, 24/7, right? Time will pretty much be of no importance because we'll just get to be in His presence. And so while we won't have a church service necessarily, a church building, hey, we'll be in the presence of the Lord. So that'll be missing. But then let's also look at verse number 25. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. I don't know about you, and I'm glad if you like it. I don't. I really don't like the dark. All right? The only time I like it dark is when my eyes are closed, right? And it doesn't really matter because I'm passed out. Okay? I've never liked the dark personally. And my dad and my brother and my sister, they like to play that a lot. I can remember one time I didn't take out the trash before it got dark. And I said, please, can I just take it out tomorrow? Can I just take it out tomorrow? And no, we told you to do it earlier. You didn't do it, so go take it out now. So I did, and I took off. Well, as soon as I got past the shed, and if you've ever been to my mom's house, you walk out the back door, and there's a sidewalk to the back alley. And to the left, there's a shed. And so it turned out that as I was walking out with this bag of trash, knowing great that the Grim Reaper was going to be there to sickle me off, right? I just knew it. And so I was walking out. And as soon as I got past the shed, it turned out that my dad went through the side gate, and he hid behind the shed. So then, when I came back, then he ran at me with a shovel. And needless to say, I have trust issues. No, all right? But I think about that, and I think about the dark. There's not going to be any night. Can I just tell you that sometimes when you're going through a time of discouragement or even depression, you know what you hate? You hate night. You know why you hate night? Because you get in your thoughts. And during the day, at times, discouragement and depression, you can deal with it, but there's times that when it comes down to the dusk and the night, it's hard. And there are nights that we have to walk through sometimes. And when we think about the fact that there's not going to be any night, and I know that there's research being done that even when it comes to folks with Alzheimer's, that when it comes down to it, the evening turning into the night causes them a lot of problems. And when we think about nights and we think about those times of discouragement, it's not going to be there. There's not going to be those times. There's not going to be night anymore. There's not, for there shall be no night there. And then as we look at verse 27, and there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Now here is the reason why we can have perfect unity in heaven. One of my favorite passages is actually Revelation 20. Well, 19 and 20. When the old devil is thrown into hell for all of eternity, you know what? He can't mess with us anymore. We're not going to be tempted anymore. You know, as Pastor mentioned today, 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant. That requires work. That requires being on guard all the time. And guess what? There is coming a day where we get to lay our guard down. Amen. You know what what many times when people talk about is that they get to go to their eternal rest, right? For the believer, that's rest. Hey, I don't have to keep battling with my sorry old flesh anymore. I don't have to keep battling Satan anymore. I don't have to battle those things anymore. I get to actually rest. And what a blessing that will be when we do get to take off that armor of God and just then be a servant and just get to enjoy a time of rest. And that day is coming. And it's going to be a wonderful day. And that day is coming. And what we'll do for eternity then in Revelation 22, just a couple verses here, verses 1 through 6, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. and in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Listen, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Now here's the truth, that one day we will get to enjoy heaven because we're fellow heirs. Because we get to go in, because we've accepted Christ as Savior, and not just because he adopted us in. All right, fine, I get to say it. You know, there's not going to be any redheaded stepchildren in heaven. Why do you say that? Well, because I've always heard it my whole entire life, right? Oh, are you just, you know, that's why you're upset all the time, because you're redheaded stepchildren. No. Listen, when it's not because our parents love them, but that firstborn, listen, we're all going to be the firstborn. We're all going to be joint heirs with Christ. We're all going to be enjoying that heavenly reward, living in perfect unity. And we are excited for that. We're excited for the day. Again, I'm trying to labor this on purpose. Not because I don't have anything else to say, but because it's so wonderful that we will get to enjoy that heavenly rest. Because we're joint heirs with Christ. Because that is going to be our heavenly reward and our time of rest. Listen, and we are looking forward to that day. As Pastor mentioned today, we won't have to be on guard to make sure we're in perfect unity anymore. I'm not going to have to watch my mouth. We'll be made perfect, right? And what a wonderful thing that is. And we will enjoy heaven in perfect unity. Why? Well, because there's no more sin, there's no more sorrow, there's no more death. Sure. But can I just tell you that two things, as we conclude today, two things that we're going to enjoy about heaven are also two things that will help us today. So let's turn over to Hebrews 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Two things in heaven that will be true and will be the reasons why we get to experience perfect unity is, number one, because there's no sin in heaven. But secondly is also this, because we'll be in the presence of our Savior. Those two things, okay? So heaven, there won't be any sin, right? That's why we have death. That's why we have sorrow. That's it, okay? But also, we'll have perfect unity because we're in his presence. Okay, so as we look at Hebrews 12, just 1 and 2, familiar. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Ready? Here it is. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Here it is. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see it? Here it is. Our application for this afternoon is the reason why we'll have perfect unity in heaven is because there's no sin and because we're in his presence. And while we will not experience, I don't care what any goober says, there's nobody perfect on planet Earth, okay? There's nobody who's arrived who's like, I don't sin anymore, okay? That's not biblical, okay? We all battle it. But what our goal should be every day as a Christian is to write here in verse number one, lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. There is coming a day where we'll have perfect unity because there's no sin and because we're in His presence. But listen, we can work on that now. I'm not saying sinless perfection. That's being glorified with Christ. But what we should do is we should do our best to lay aside our weights and our sins so we can run the race. But while we're running, verse number two, looking unto Jesus, being in His presence. So here's our application. Ready? One day we'll experience it. But until then, number one, we should do our best to stay away from sin. Listen, we need to keep a short list with Christ, which means this. Sometimes when we confess our sins, there's times that when an invitation is given, there's times that I come and I know, man, I flew off the handle with the kids this week, or I said something to my spouse, right? And I need to confess those things. I need to get them right with the Lord, right? And we keep that list short, right? Sometimes we're like, hey, we need to confess our sins to the Lord, right? And sometimes our list is so long, we're like, where do we start? Right? But what we need to do is make sure that as sin comes into our life, we're dealing with it. Deal with it quickly. Man, when you fly off the handle, when you yell at someone, what those things, yes, because we're sinful people, they're not okay, but they will come, and we need to get those right, just right away, right? Keep a short list. Why? Well, because I want to be in unity. Right? But then also, number two is this, just stay in His presence. Stay in His presence. I worry about folks who've gotten saved, and I'm not here to question their salvation, but they have no desire to be in His presence. I just want to ask them, do you know what heaven's like? You don't want to spend time in your Bible? You don't want to spend time in prayer? You don't want to come to church? That should be concerning. Why? Because His people should want to be in His presence. And so as we think about this today, again, man, one day sin will be eradicated, gone, won't have to deal with it, and we'll be in His presence, and we'll get to experience unity. But until that day, just 2 points. Don't even have a poem. Stay away from sin and stay in His presence, and we'll experience unity, even today. But one day we'll experience perfect unity. And truth be told, there's no reason why we should get to experience that. Why should we? I live with me. I know me. I know my thoughts. There's no reason why we should be able to be joint heirs with Christ. But for the precious blood of Christ, it's all about Him. What a wonderful thing. Take hope. I know the holidays can be hard sometimes. I know that Thanksgiving and Christmas and all those things, they can be tough. But let's live in light of the fact that perfect unity will happen. And to those who are saved, who've gone on before us, there'll be a great reunion day. And we won't be fussing and fighting, right? No fussing and cussing. We'll be in perfect unity because of God's grace and His mercy to us. And because of that, we can have hope today. I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry o'er the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today I'll walk beside Him, for He knows what is ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, But I know who holds tomorrow. And I know who holds my hand. We can live in hope because we are fellow heirs. Lord, we thank you so much for your many blessings to us. God, I pray that this would bring comfort and bring a challenge. But also, God, help us to live in light of the fact that one day we are looking forward to that day where we can lay our guard down, where we can put your armor down and into your presence for rest. And we're thankful for that hope. And I pray that you'd help us today. Help us to live with hope. God, for one day there will be perfect unity. But until then, God, help us to strive. Help us to keep. Help us to labor on doing our best to keep our unity as best we can here on earth. In Jesus' name, amen.